we are first a human being, not a human doing. And so to just simply connect and to point people to the gifts where Christ serves us first, and then we are enabled to serve others. I mean, there is no greater joy. The goal is simply to encourage each other when we're feeling not secure or down or sad or grieving, and whatever the case might be. We are in a fallen world. We are sinners. And so Christ comes to us to remind us, yes, you know, I am here. I am your Savior. You are mine. And so we simply encourage one another in that reality.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our Set Apart to Serve conversation. Today, we're going to talk across two districts, Rocky Mountain District and the Mid-South District.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon. Joining us today, Deaconess Melissa DeGroat. She serves as Assistant to the President for Mission and Mercy in the LCMS Rocky Mountain District. Deaconess DeGroat, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Hello. Hi, Andy. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. Glad to have you along today. Looking forward to learning about the Lord's work in the Rocky Mountain District. Also joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Roger Pavala. He serves as President of the LCMS Mid-South District. Dr. Pavala, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you, Andy. It's always good to be back with you.
Well, let's start with Deaconess DeGroat and your story. In your path to becoming a deaconess, where did it all begin? When did you learn about the office of deaconess and your path to becoming one?
Sure. Well, I was a former pastor's kid and living on the East Coast. So, gosh, I'm going to date myself. So late 80s, early 90s, right around confirmation time. This is the fun story I always tell people. I asked my dad, is there such a thing as a Lutheran nun? That's what I think I want to do. And he looked at me and he said, no. But we didn't know much about the deaconess program. Of course, I think Concordia, at the time River Forest, now Chicago, was just kind of starting their deaconess program. And we were pretty far away from there. And so I just kind of continued on and graduated high school, went to undergraduate school in Massachusetts, and got my bachelor's in psychology. And afterwards, I worked for 4 years in a children's adolescent psychiatric hospital. So that was really formative and kind of just paved the way, because I realized after a couple of years, most people in that setting will go on to graduate school for social work or nursing or psychiatry and so forth. And I kind of was just wrestling with what path I wanted to take there. And my father went to a symposia 1 year and came back with a deaconess program brochure from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. And so they had just gotten started. And so it took me about 2 years to finally decide to go there, but no regrets. It brought together everything that I wanted from when I was a kid until even now today. I was in a meeting earlier today and I said sincerely, I said, you know, you never work a day in your life if you love what you do. And so that's truly what I'm experiencing now. And I can talk about that in a minute. But yeah, that's kind of the path. I met my husband, Adam, at seminary, and we have traveled quite a bit, a lot of different places around the U.S., Rochester, New York, Philadelphia, Albuquerque, and now Rio Rancho, New Mexico. So we got here about 8 years ago, and then I got to serve on the board of directors for the Rocky Mountain District. And then this position opened up for the mission executive position, and here I am. Just started last September. You can't see this. My shirt is green, but I feel green still.
How do you serve as a deaconess in this role specifically, but also since you were commissioned, how have you served as a deaconess? What are some of those things that deaconesses do in regards to mission like you do?
Okay, where to begin? So when I was at Fort Wayne, my first call was to the seminary. So, and this kind of pairs well with what we're going to talk about in kind of overlapping Set Apart to Serve. However, I was an admissions counselor, so recruiting and formation was a huge piece of my job there, and just, you know, taking young women under my wing and just encouraging them and kind of showing them the way to this vocation. And then after, just to kind of give a little chronological order, my husband got a call in 2010. We went to Rochester, New York. My son was born in 2011. And so I've always worked contract work part-time through Synod and different capacities. But then fast forward to Philadelphia, and that was a huge, I don't know how to put it, but just, you know, Mission and Mercy was basically the focus there. In an urban setting. And so doing everything from connecting the underserved to food and clothing co-ops. And then, of course, as a deaconess, we are compelled to point people to the gifts, to word and sacrament. And so that is the core of what a deaconess is all about. But it's body and soul, you know, so whatever the needs are in the context that I've been placed, I'm always very conscious of that part. You know, I think, Sarah, you're a deaconess intern now, correct?
Yeah.
And so I'm sure you're learning all about this as well. And just simply, you know, in this role, pointing people to the gifts, you know, where God promises to be. And so I've also homeschooled. I homeschooled my son throughout our time as missionaries, domestic missionaries. And then when we moved to New Mexico, I was able to serve in our other church in Albuquerque in small ways, and then on the board of directors for the Rocky Mountain District for 3 years. And now in this role, it's just kind of like a full circle moment for me, where it's like all the experiences and training have come together because there's so much in this position of mercy, mission, outreach that I'm just so privileged to be a part of and to help promote. And so, but at the very core of it, it's always pointing to altar, pulpit, font.
I want to share more of Deaconess DeGroat's story and her service in Rocky Mountain District. But since we're talking about deaconesses in formation and what deaconesses do, I'm curious what that looks like in Mid-South District. Dr. Pavla, are there deaconesses serving in the Mid-South District? And in what ways do they serve in your district?
Well, we have seven ladies that have finished their deaconess programs, and we have them spread throughout the different regions of the Mid-South District. As I've mentioned before, we're about 1,000 miles long and about 350 miles wide. Being able to fill those spaces with people that have the good background in teaching what it is that God has entrusted to us. We are fortunate to have those individuals here. We have one deaconess on our staff, and then she has worked with all of the others by engaging them in the work of being deaconesses and helping out the congregations. We have one deaconess that is actually covering an entire circuit, which is really kind of an interesting way of being able to do it. And we would encourage others to consider that as a possibility, because it's utilizing this great skill that the deaconess brings to our ministries. And it is a way for those congregations to help share in that type of a ministry as well. We're hoping to get more.
Very good. Deaconess DeGroat, tell us a little bit more about what you get to do on a regular basis as assistant to the president for Mission and Mercy, what that looks like in the Rocky Mountain District.
Well, currently we're casting a wide net, so buckle up. Pastor, and I should mention, Pastor Cody and I started on the same day, and he is assistant to the president for Mission and Advancement. And I'm, of course, Mission and Mercy, but so much of our work overlaps. And so this is everything from church worker care, district events, pro-life advocacy events, communications, mission initiatives, disaster response coordination, resource development, and helping connect and revitalize relations around the district. As you might know, the Rocky Mountain District is the second largest in our synod, and that spans Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, with like two congregations in Nebraska and one in Page, Arizona. Oh, in El Paso, of course, down south in Texas. And so we have quite, you know, we've got quite an expanse to cover. And that was one of the main things of, you know, getting us on board the district, President Maxwell, and President Pavel, I'm sure you can attest to this, but you can't do it all. And so having us come on board was basically an effort to make sure that our district didn't feel so large.
What are some of the things you're doing in the Rocky Mountain District with Set Apart to Serve to form and recruit church workers?
Sure. And so just as I mentioned, I started in September. And so I'm certainly, as a district, we're exploring ways to partner with Set Apart to Serve and to promote it. First and foremost, I do want to put a little plug in. We have our new district website up and running and launched, and Set Apart to Serve is right on there as a tab. So we are definitely staying connected and partnering. And so that's one piece. And then the other is our District Ambassador Initiative. And this is an effort that we are launching this summer with hopefully it coming to some fruition by the end of the year. And that effort entails recruiting congregation members from around the district to be kind of a collaborator and a partner between district and congregations so that we can be a feedback loop for district and synod resources. And Set Apart to Serve is definitely a part of that.
What do you see as ongoing goals for recruiting and forming future church workers in the Rocky Mountain District?
The goals is certainly just encouragement. I think this is, before I stepped into this role, I did a little bit of research and talked to other mission executives around our synod. And that was a pervading thing, encourage. Between our church workers and those prospective church workers, we need to show them that this service is joyful. It's challenging, for sure. But there's a lot of joy. And like I said, I mean, I am so privileged to be able to do what I'm doing. And I don't feel like it's work. I mean, I am getting older. And so I do get tired. But I certainly am able to connect with people and just be a human. Oh, like, I remember Professor Pless talking about this theological ethics, or one of our classes, that he's like, we are first a human being, not a human doing. And so to just simply connect and to point people to the gifts where Christ serves us first, and then we are enabled to serve others. I mean, there is no greater joy in that we can simply lean on each other and, as scripture says, bear one another's burdens. And so to your question, I mean, the goal is simply to encourage each other when we're feeling, you know, not secure or down or sad or grieving, and whatever the case might be. I mean, that we are in a fallen world. We are sinners. And so Christ comes to us to remind us, yes, you know, I am here. I am your savior, but you are mine. And so we simply encourage one another in that reality.
We are in our Set Apart to Serve conversation today with Deaconess Melissa DeGrote and the Reverend Dr. Roger Pavala, and learning about the Lord's work in their districts and how they are encouraging and forming future church workers. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason: to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are in our Set Apart to Serve conversation today, talking with Deaconess Melissa DeGrote. She serves as Assistant to the President for Mission and Mercy at the LCMS Rocky Mountain District, and also the Reverend Dr. Roger Pavala. He's President of the LCMS Mid-South District. Dr. Pavala, let's talk more about Set Apart to Serve in your district, or sorry to say your congregation, which I know you're part of a congregation too. But I know we've checked in with you from time to time. How about an update on what Set Apart to Serve looks like in the Mid-South District today? I know you're working with a variety of people across your district and also connected across Synod as well. What does Set Apart to Serve look like today in your district?
Well, today it's just as active as it has been. We've enjoyed the fruit of the labor of the Set Apart to Serve activity, but this year we graduated 4 of the seminary students that came from the Mid-South District. I think I mentioned before that we have 11 men in seminary track that came as a result of what we've been doing with Set Apart to Serve. Gives us a ratio of about 1 seminarian for every 1,700 people that we have in the Mid-South. And as we take a look at that, it's been hard work to get these people interested in that. And in addition to that, we have 8 others that are in our university systems and in the online deaconess programs that we have. So it is starting to show some substantial results out of that. What it is, and taking a little bit of what it is that Melissa was talking about here earlier, that the ambassadors, we have established this Set Apart to Serve committee. It's turned from an ad hoc committee into a permanent committee here because we are doing so much with that. But we've taken someone from each one of the disciplines of ministry. So we have deaconesses, we have teachers, principals, pastors, directors of parish music, DCEs, who did I miss, but director of parish outreach, and so on. So we have someone from each one of those disciplines and in different locations identifying the individuals that are perhaps potential students to go to these things. And we've also expanded that into understanding that getting people that are second career individuals in there. Just recently, we were just delighted to see that we have 6 new people that have finished colloquy as a result of going out and getting about to the work of the Lord and our church. And those 6 are joyfully in the midst of their work now as call workers for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and enjoying it. So it's working. And like I've mentioned before, it really takes that personal contact, that one-on-one, that like Melissa was explaining with that, when you see a person, talk to them. And it's gotten to the point where people see me coming down the hallway and saying, I've made up my mind where I'm going to college or something like that. But so it does work. It does work. And I don't know if you're going to find this happening in Rocky Mountain, Melissa, but when we do talk to sophomores and juniors and seniors in high school about the possibility of doing work in the church, we get a lot of this, well, it costs so much to go to our Concordia universities. It doesn't. It is a fantastic piece of material that Dr. Vanek put out that indicated that a person in a church worker track is actually going to be spending less on their university education than going to a state school. And once they begin to understand that there is support, there is a prayerful support and a financial support that comes from the people of our synod, they begin to take a look at this in a real way, understanding that this is a real cause and they can respond to it.
Dr. Pavlo, what are some of those key talking points, their strategy for connecting with potential students and young people and second career people who you've identified as people who may be great for church work? What is that strategy, the things that you bring up when you're talking to these people?
Well, when I'm talking to the people, it's by invitation to the different congregations and schools that we have. And I'm always talking about Set Apart to Serve in those situations. But we're also asking our pastors in their pastors' conferences, where we have men coming together for theological discussions and education, and in their circuit winkles, reminding them that if they've been able to identify an individual that would potentially be able to get into church work, let us know about it, and we make contact with them. It is such a rewarding thing to go to the seminary or go to our universities and see these people that we have encouraged to go into this work, and they come and embrace the idea that they were encouraged to consider the possibility of going into church work. I was on campus in St. Paul. I was on campus in Chicago and Seward, and we had students in each one of those places. They thanked me for the work that this committee has done to identify the opportunities in church work for them. And just that they're absolutely delighted to do that and thanking us for the work that we've continued to do and the financial support that we give to our students. It's always rewarding to see that. Never have I had someone come to me and said, "You brought me down the wrong road. I'm going to get out of this." It doesn't happen that way. These people are delighted to see what it is that is happening with their education and the potentials for their church work.
Tell us more about the committee in your district that you formed for your Set Apart to Serve efforts.
Well, again, it was individuals who have had some experience in the work that they've done and working with us on a quarterly basis, where you go through what is working, what is not working, what is going to resonate with the discipline that you are involved with. Just a couple of weeks ago, I visited with there's a fellow that has his doctorate in parish music. And I asked him, what are the things that are kind of giving you a little bit of a encouragement of what we can bring along to the next person that's interested in parish music? He said, you have to let them know that there are great opportunities in congregations to be able to lead the music ministry, and that there are ample opportunities for them to be able to express that artistic portion of that. The school teachers and the principals, again, encouraging them to take a look at what it is that the students in our K-8, K-12 programs, or even in the early childhood programs, there's such a delight of being able to say, I can share the life of Jesus with these people and the way that they're having that expressed in the way that they work and making that kind of a contact with the individuals then that are potential students in those areas is the thing that lets us know what is it that's going to be most important to the person that comes from these disciplines. Deaconesses, God bless you all. I mean, it's fantastic to see that the care of the individual, it's called Seelsorge. It's the care of the soul. And when you can bring that kind of a message to that person who is a potential deaconess, they get to understand that in a more powerful way than they've ever seen it before.
Deaconess, talk to us about developing district ambassadors. What has that been like in the Rocky Mountain District, and what is the place of Set Apart to Serve in those conversations with district ambassadors?
Sure. So this is kind of Pastor Cody's brainchild, and I am totally helping and supporting this. We just went over a lot of media materials that are being emailed, mailed, and so forth around our district currently. Actually, this morning, I got copied on the email blast that's going out to everyone to simply let pastors, congregations, and other church workers know about our district ambassador initiative, which is, as I mentioned, a way for the members of congregations to connect with us and vice versa. And so this is, I think, a meaningful opportunity for this kind of reconnection and revitalization effort that we are being very intentional about. And so, like I mentioned too, it's just, like I said, we're very new, but at the same time, we're starting to put all the tools in our toolbox. And so Set Apart to Serve is a part of that toolbox. And I think, kind of what President Pablo was saying too is taking an interest in our workers and just seeing what gifts God has given them, whether it's music, teaching, mercy care, preaching, those are types of things that I know throughout my adult life and the various churches that we've been, I've seen, and my husband has seen certain individuals, and we've been blessed to see God work through those conversations. And so Set Apart to Serve, being very intentional about wanting to find a place for all, there's 8 church workers. What I just learned, I didn't realize all of the categories. And so it's just amazing, and I knew, as soon as I was starting in the Set Apart to Serve meetings, oh, yes, that's of course. But now it's more intentional. It's very intentional about trying to bring these individuals into contact with our synod resources and encouraging them, praying for them, to consider church work.
Dr. Pavla, with just about a minute left, I'm hearing from both districts, Rocky Mountain District and Mid-South District, that having conversations, spending time together, learning about one another, and then encouraging what gifts and talents and interests you hear in that conversation, encouraging those and building on those seems to be important as part of raising up future church workers. In your conversations with your fellow district presidents, tell us about what you're hearing about in other districts. And is it similar to what you're hearing today in both of these districts?
Well, I don't know that all of the districts are able to have the intensity of having that number of individuals to work on the program. It absolutely is, when they've asked, how is it that you are able to produce these individuals to go to our colleges and to go to our seminaries? It takes that personal contact. Melissa and I have, can give you stories about how one person came talk to us about the possibility of becoming a church worker and encouraging and praying for and supporting us in those kinds of decisions. That is absolutely irreplaceable when it comes to making the choice of where you're going to go to for your future work. And if it's in the church, it's going to take more than one conversation, but it's always a one-on-one type of a conversation. And when you've dedicated yourself to being able to make that work, it's going to happen. The individuals that are truly going to be called to this type of service are absolutely going to respond in a very positive way.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Roger Pavla. He serves as president of the LCMS Mid-South District. Dr. Pavla, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be with you.
And Deaconess Melissa DeGroat, she serves as assistant to the president for Mission and Mercy for the LCMS Rocky Mountain District. Thank you so much for joining us today, Deaconess DeGroat.
Thank you.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.